The Adani Group is one of the most well-known companies in India, and it's run by one of the richest people in the world, Gautam Adani.
His very sprawling business empire touches the lives of almost everyone here in India.
That's our colleague Sean Lee, who's based in New Delhi.
When you walk into a grocery store, you're likely to find cooking oil and, like, fruit from his companies. His ports are just huge points for flow of goods through India and through much of the region. He operates 6 airports, and his power plants and his coal lights up people's homes, their offices, their businesses. His name is on billboards, you know, on shipping docks. It's hard to go anywhere in India without encountering some aspect of his business.
But now, Adani's companies are under fire, thanks to allegations published in a report by an American short seller.
The title of the report is How the World's Third Richest Man is Pulling the Largest Con in Corporate History.
That's quite the headline.
Yes. It's over 100 pages. It's quite detailed. The allegations are pretty explosive.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knudsen. It's Monday, February 6th. Coming up on the show, how Gautam Adani lost billions of dollars in just 2 weeks.
This episode is brought to you by UiPath. Human achievement can be slow. 200,000 years to go from the wheel to your jalopy? Really? But today, 90% of the Fortune 500 are accelerating human achievement simply. When AI is everywhere, every process can be automated and accelerated. 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 UiPath, the AI everywhere foundation of innovation.
Gautam Adani's rise to become India's richest man started in the Indian state of Gujarat, where he grew up. As a teenager, he dropped out of school and worked in the diamond trade. And then, alongside his family, he got into business exporting everything from shoe polish to toothpaste.
Eventually, he gets a big break when he starts developing this port in Gujarat called Mundra Port, and it turns into the largest private port in all of India, and it's really sort of the cornerstone in some ways of his business.
In Gujarat, Adani had a close ally and a local politician named Narendra Modi, now India's prime minister.
They both came from Gujarat, and when Mr. Modi was chief minister of Gujarat, he sold the Gujarat government's stake in that Mundra port, that big port that Adani was developing. He sold the government's stake to Adani for something like $24 million, which is, you know, like in hindsight, not that much.
Since then, the two men have stayed connected.
Adani's been a big supporter of Modi's political career when he was running for prime minister. They've definitely been seen as helping each other along the way.
The Adani Group grew into a major energy and infrastructure conglomerate, becoming one of the most important businesses for the Indian economy. And Adani, the man, became very rich.
You know, last year, he actually briefly became the second richest person in the world, just after Elon Musk. He displaced Jeff Bezos, the Amazon.com founder, for a little while.
As one of the world's richest men, Adani has become a household name in India. In early January, he was interviewed on a show on India TV.
Ab shuru hone ja raha hai.
It's a Q&A type show that has kind of a quirky and delightful setup where it's a mock courtroom and the person being interviewed sits in like a witness box and then he gets grilled. And so he agreed to go on this program and the interviewer just asked many questions about his career trajectory, his companies, his relationship to the Modi government. They covered a wide range of topics.
At one point, the interviewer compared Adani and his companies to a high-flying balloon.
Many people say that Adani's balloon will burst, so all the banks will be destroyed.
Basically, I think the interviewer is asking, so can we expect, like, is your company just going to keep being like one success story after another? Is it ever going to, is your success ever going to pop? Right. And he said, essentially, no.
So what does that say about where he was or where he thought he was just a couple of weeks ago?
I think he was in some ways on top of the world and riding high.
Now, a company called Hindenburg Research, which is known for its activist short selling, is holding up a needle to Adani's balloon.
It's a company based in New York. They specialize in investigating companies that they believe are engaging in fraudulent or illegal behavior, and they use that research to short the company, which means they're betting that the price of its stocks or bonds are going to go down.
If Hindenburg's bets work out, they can make a lot of money. And Hindenburg's newest bet is against Adani. On January 24th, Hindenburg tweeted that it was going after a new target, one that they, quote, strongly suspect to be the largest corporate fraud in history, end quote. Sean remembers when the report landed in her inbox. The subject line simply said, Adani report.
Pretty innocuous, right? And then I opened up this report and scrolled and scrolled and scrolled because it's extremely lengthy. And I just thought, what the heck is this?
Why were you so sort of stunned by it?
Because it's so detailed, because they have a lot of citations and notes in there, and honestly, because what they're alleging is incredibly complicated.
The report accuses the Adani Group of wide-ranging fraud, including accounting fraud, and alleges the company manipulated its stock price through a network of overseas shell companies.
The report basically makes a number of allegations, but I would say the sort of highlight is that they're using these overseas companies to essentially buy and sell company stocks and keep the price artificially inflated without people realizing.
So the allegation here is that because there are these shell companies that are controlled by Adani, they'll buy and sell Adani's stock in a way that makes the stock look like it's worth more than it is. Like there's more demand out there than actually exists.
Yeah, that's one of the allegations for sure. It's just a huge sprawling network, and it can be very difficult to get to the bottom of it, but that they spent 2 years on this and that like they dug in a way that no one else has.
It also says that Indian regulators and officials under the Modi government have turned a blind eye to the Adani Group's alleged wrongdoing.
They allege that the government and various like regulatory bodies, agencies, know that sketchy things have been happening, and there's been opposition lawmakers that have pointed it out repeatedly out in public, in parliament, and that nothing has been done.
Has Prime Minister Modi said anything?
No, they haven't said anything. I mean, I would say that, like, we've heard they're obviously keeping a close eye on this, and I would say that, like, if the Adani Group falls into deeper trouble, maybe they will come in and provide assistance in some way, but you know, we'll see.
A spokesman for the Modi government didn't respond to requests for comment. A day after the report was published, the company shared a video. Adani's chief financial officer, Jugeshinder Singh, is standing next to an Indian flag as he addresses the allegations.
The report is a malicious combination of selective misinformation, stale, baseless, and discredited allegations that have been tested and rejected by India's highest courts.
He made a video address where he defended the health of his company. He said, it's on the up and up. We are perfectly healthy. We are doing fine. We have done nothing wrong.
The conglomerate also released a 413-page rebuttal, calling the allegations misleading and, quote, nothing but a lie. But Adani's stock was taking a major hit.
People started dumping their Adani stocks, and it's gone down and down and down and plummeted. And now they've lost over $100 billion in market capitalization across their seven companies.
Wow, their market value has dropped by $100 billion.
Yes.
So this report has had a pretty significant impact.
Yes, it's been, I mean, it's been sort of like dynamite going off, right? But it's been kind of steady boom, 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 like day after day after day. You wonder, like, is it going to get any worse? And every day it's gotten worse for them.
Shares of most Adani Group companies fell even further today. After the break, why the Hindenburg report came at an especially bad time for the Adani Group.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, will you be able to afford a third kid? Will you be able to do everything you want when you retire? What if you outlive your savings? Empower knows these questions can be stressful, so they're here to help answer your what-ifs and empower what's next. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future. Tap the banner to learn more or visit empower.com.
This episode is brought to you by Vonage. With Vonage Video API, your developers can easily create custom video experiences tailored to your business. Enhance every conversation with live video, whether it's delivering faster tech support, improving customer service, or enabling interactive meetings and events. Unlock the true video potential of your business. Discover how at Vonage.com.
Before the Hindenburg report came out, the Adani Group was planning a major stock sale. The company was going to sell new shares to investors, with hopes of raising about $2.5 billion. It was money the conglomerate needed, in part to pay off some debt.
This report drops 3 days before their new stock sale starts. And, you know, they had gotten investors to sign on beforehand, but once the report comes and the share prices start falling, it becomes a real nail biter. You know, everyone's wondering, will he even be able to close this deal, right? Because at that point, the price that the investors had agreed to was now higher than the price they would pay for these shares on the open market. So, you know, it begs the question, why would anyone buy these shares when they could get them cheaper, you know, on the open market?
The Adani Group decided to cancel the sale. The company said it would refund the investors it had already paid.
They said in the statement, they said it's been completely successful because they managed to close it. Because of the unprecedented market volatility over the last week, Gautam Adani said that he thought it was the morally correct thing to just cancel it and refund everyone's money.
But this is a major headache for the Adani Group.
One of the reasons for this new stock sale is they wanted to use some of that to pay down debts. So I think it sort of raises the question, you know, how far is the share going to slide? And if they get in real trouble, are they going to be able to raise funds?
I see. So this report, it sounds like hit Adani, it delivered like double damage in a way, because it hit them at a moment that they needed the stock price to be higher.
Yes. And the Adani Group, they've issued several rebuttals in the last week, and they've repeated this point that, you know, they really issued this report to try to kill our this planned public offering.
In an attempt to shore up investor confidence, the Adani Group said today that controlling shareholders will pay off a $1.1 billion loan. As part of its defense, the Adani Group is arguing that the Hindenburg report is not only targeting its companies, but also India itself.
And I think the interesting thing is they took an increasingly nationalistic stance when this 400-page rebuttal came out. They just flat out stated that this attack on Adani is an attack on India, its people, and its institutions. So they equated Adani with India.
Sean says that a lot of Indians take pride in Adani's success. And to a lot of his supporters, the Hindenburg report seems like an outside attack.
He is very famous within India. I think a lot of people do think that this is this foreign American company that is launching these false attacks against one of our biggest and best, most successful Indian companies. And I think to them, he symbolizes the success of India, and he's a real hopeful story that people are proud of.
Hindenburg responded and said that Adani's rebuttal stoked nationalist sentiment without adequately addressing the issues the firm had raised. And now, India's opposition political parties are calling for an investigation into the allegations of stock price manipulation and fraud.
They just keep disrupting parliamentary sessions, you know, with their push to actually, like, talk about these allegations.
So what is this going to mean for Adani and his companies?
Well, he is not one to kind of give in, right? So I would say in the short term, they're going to have to look for funding and financing from other circles. And they're in survival mode right now. I'd say this is probably one of the toughest periods. I mean, they've gone through tough periods before in the past, but I would say this is one of the toughest periods in the company's history. They're in crisis mode right now.
Adani's personal net worth has fallen by around $60 billion over the last week and a half.
But I would say, like, I would be hard-pressed to think of a comparable company that's so intertwined with their country's economy. And if that company, you know, fails or staggers, yeah, it would be up there in terms of the immensity of the, you know, the problem, both for the company and the country.
That's all for today, Monday, February 6th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode by Stacey Miketree, Krishna Pokharel, Waylon Soon, and Ben Foldy. Before we go, we've got a question for you. Have you ever paid to use a dating app? If so, how'd it go? And if not, why not? Email us with your stories at thejournal@wsj.com. We might use your response in a future episode. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.